Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart, and I have David Watson with us, and we're going to talk about, I guess we're talking about the 3% that it takes to change the world. Is that correct?
Well, I guess that's one way to put it.
Okay.
It's occurred to me of recent times that no one person is going to change the world or change the way things are. Many of us are complaining about, you know, we don't like the way the government is, or we don't like the way business is being run, we don't like what the oil companies are charging us, and, you know, there's all kinds of things we don't like, but what can we do to change things to things that we do like?
Okay.
And that's what the 3% solution is all about.
Okay.
That's what I call it anyway. I was listening to a broadcast by Danyon Brinkley recently.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about what it takes to change the world. And he was saying, well, you know, like 97% of the world is, not that they're asleep, but they're just, you know, we're so involved in living the life process, they don't take enough time to become a little more, I guess, internal, you know, more self-reflective. And that people who do that are the people who actually shift things. You know, when somebody comes up with a new invention or a new idea or a new procedure to do something, once we get around 3% of the population that is accepting it as a norm, somehow magically it's transformed by some type of domino effect or 100th monkey effect or whatever it is to the rest of the population.
Okay.
So I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking about, well, what was the purpose in having that, you know, information 3%? Released
okay.
to us? Because, I mean, I recall, what was it, a couple of years ago, we had the 1% and the 99% Occupy.
Yes.
Which brought to mind the fact that 1% of the population is controlling 99% of the population. So imagine how powerful 3% of the population would be, thinking and behaving and acting in this very specific way that had to do with, I don't know, loving each other, being careful about each other, being respectful for each other's space, to try and work with each other instead of trying to compete with each other all the time, try and understand what fairness is about and what our liabilities were of being alive and what our responsibilities were of being alive, and caring about each other and truly getting into understanding the nature of those of us who are unhappy with our lives, or might be socially inept in one way or another. I mean, there's so many different ways to look at it, but to deal with all with a sense of compassion.
Right.
Okay, I think that's probably the most important part of it that many of us would like to see, would be in a peaceful, compassionate, benevolent kind of world. So I realized one of the things that I've been doing with what I do for a living, being a deep trance channeler and also what I now call a life strategist, I'd say the number one message I have, whether I'm in trance or whether I'm working with somebody or the people who come to me for work, is for them to feel free inside of themselves, to feel a sense of freedom and a sense of release from what they're expressing in their lives. And mostly I find that these folks who are coming to me for this kind of information are looking for a way of releasing themselves from negative and limiting belief systems, and I would say a bit of a skewed perspective in the way that they view the world.
Okay.
And a lot of that, of course, comes from our environment, from the things that we learn, not just from each other, but from the media, from the way that our different services operate in our societies, you know, everything from the government to the police to civil service and that kind of thing. So, you know, there's a big portion of how we live that is influenced by our environment,
mm-hmm.
okay, and is shaped by our environment. But I think the 3% solution is a way of saying we might be shaped by it, but we're not defined by it, okay?
Okay.
And that's the idea behind the 3% solution as far as a concept is concerned. As to what we can do about it, well, each one of us has the opportunity to talk to people about how we feel and think, to treat each other with dignity and with love and respect. And the more that we do that, you know, a lot of people have find that the happier they are, you know. I think a while ago they had that thing, pay it forward kind of thing, you know. Yeah. Do something for somebody else. Buy them a cup of coffee at the donut shop or something like that.
If you're terribly sad movie that created a nice little movement, yes.
Well, be that as it may, but the fact is that is just like one little facet of that kind of thing that we can really step into, in my candid opinion. So I think that's what the idea behind the 3% solution is concerned. You know, I mean, the only other 3% solution I know of is hydrogen peroxide and water. You know? But, you know, which is a cleansing effect or a bleaching effect, I think, at some point, you know, removes color and pigmentation. But I think the real 3% is to add to what we have. And, you know, I know a lot of the people who are out there who are listening to this are already part of that 3%. In fact, I would say you all are, if you're looking at this kind of thinking process and tuning into this kind of program where we're sharing these kind of ideas.
Right.
So I guess the idea is kind of to use this as an opportunity and a platform to talk a little bit about that, and to talk a little bit about the mindset that we get into and how we can release ourselves from it and the fears that come from it and that sort of thing. So for that, perhaps, you know, we might have the willows come in and we can do a little willow reading.
I would love that. I think that would be a great thing. I'm just wondering if we should do that at the next break.
Well, I'm thinking that would be perfect by me.
Setting the tone of what we're going to talk about. Perfect.
You know, and riding the wave of thought here.
Okay, so we have 3%, which is a little bit, in some ways, I guess, not as challenging to think of as the 1%, where the 1% sort of has control over us. We're talking about the 3% that's actually making a difference and making a change in the world.
That's right. Well, that's just how change happens. 1% can't evince change. All they can do is try to get people to do what they want them to do.
Right.
Through utilizing the usual techniques, fear and intimidation and shame and, you know, those kind of things.
Right.
But the 3%, I say, we can work with just the opposite of that, you know, the polar opposite of that, because we're not trying to control anybody. We're not trying to think anything that's going to be bad or negative. In fact, I believe that people who have that type of mindset, which I, you know, just described, are people who live their lives in a caring way and are choosing to do something with their life and with their circumstances to make a difference in the world. And it all begins with themselves, first of all, by beginning to love ourselves, you know, by beginning to appreciate who we are, what our, you know, what our joy of living is about, what it is to express ourselves in a day-to-day existence, what it's nice, like to just feel the sun or the rain against our cheek and to say, hey, I'm feeling it, I'm experiencing it, I'm living it, and it's part of the joy of being.
Right.
Those are the ways to begin and to love ourselves in a certainly a non-narcissistic way. I think to love ourselves in a caring and generous way, where we respect our life path and respect the life that we carry within us, because it is something to respect and to hold on to. It's a gift that somehow we've given to ourselves through the interaction with the you know, this dense physical plane that we live in. So this kind of thinking, I think, is a way of shifting the world. And I'm not talking about a way of thinking that doesn't involve action. Because anything that doesn't involve action doesn't do anything. It's inertia. But thinking in a positive, loving, generous way, and then taking action and actually doing it, going out there and facing off with the rest of the world and saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. And not in a way where we're feeling that, you know, we're some kind of a sacrificial lamb where we have to give up ourselves and give of our wholeness and our unique individuality, but rather share it rather than to give it, you know, and to know that we can never be diminished when we give to others, whether it's a couple of bucks to some kid on the street who's, you know, doesn't know where he's going to sleep or where she's going to get her next meal from. Or down to, you know, trying to be responsible for the people that we put into public office to make sure that we get out and do something about it. You know, because the people who are amongst that 3% are people who do take action. And that means their sense of responsibility is to the entire life that they're living.
Right.
you know, saying, okay, I can't be aware of everything at the same time, but I can pick certain key things that are important to me and make sure that the world is, that I share that with the world in a positive and, you know, creative way. So it's that kind of thinking that I'm talking about. It's that kind of understanding. And it doesn't take much to think that way. Most of the people I talk to really think like that a lot. You know, not all the time. I know I'm still struggling with it. But, you know, it's not to say that somebody has to be perfect to do it. It's to say that somebody has the desire to do it, has the hope that this is going to be some way that, never mind changing the world, changing ourselves to feel happier and more productive and more alive.
Right.
You know, so by taking these kind of precepts and bringing them onto ourselves, that would be great. You know, and you know, the interesting thing is that it's one thing to say to do it. But the other thing is how do I do it? How do I get started? How do I change myself? How do I become part of that 3%, which might be 4 or 5 or 10 or 100% at some time in the future? How do we do that? We do it by turning it around and looking at our lives and saying, you know what? If I don't feel that, if I don't know how to do it, maybe I can pretend that I do. Listen to some inspirational music. Go and see some movies. There's some brilliant movies out there that we can really sink our teeth into to have a greater sense of who we are and to see the joy of living and the fun of living by immersing ourselves in things of that nature. And I'm not talking about where people shoot each other and shoot their way out of their situation. I'm talking about the way that people handle things in a humorous and creative way, which is how most of us do anyway. We don't settle things with fists and guns, only in the movies. And but in true life and in increasing number of movies, we have a tendency to be able to do that as well. So these are the tools we have. They're available to us. And then what we do is we go out and we imitate it, because that's what we humans are best at doing. You know, if we see something, we can do it. You know, people say monkey see and monkey do. Well, let me tell you, human see and human do is how we built our world, you know. Right. So if we see somebody doing it and we begin to imitate it, amazingly, within a short period of time, we begin to feel it. You know, I remember when I was a kid and, you know, I was playing softball and I couldn't figure out how to, you know, throw the ball to the right guy. And my coach used to say to me, think until you make it, kid. And eventually I used to throw the ball right to the catcher, not over his head or not to the first baseman, which is where it was supposed to go. So, yeah, I would say fake it till you make it is a good way to utilize that way of thinking, too. Act as if. Act as if it's going to be real. Act as if it's going to be a part of our life and it's going to be part of who we are and what we're doing. And lo and behold, after a while, it does become exactly that.
I think there's another way of if you have somebody that you really admire, mm-hmm. or that you see as somebody that is like a role model, then ask yourself, what would they do in every situation?
That's perfect.
You know, well, what would they do?
That's right. So what we're doing is we're reaching out and we're holding on to something that's going to give us a positive understanding of an outcome that we desire.
Just because sometimes, you know, we get too self-involved in our own thought process and what's happening to us and whether we're a victim or whether we're right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the ego is so quick to take a step in there.
That's
but
very
if you,
true.
You know, if you have somebody that you think is, you know, a role model for you and you can sort of go, okay, well, what would they do in this situation? It's kind of like your best friend. You know, mm-hmm. we can always give so much better advice to our best friend than we can ourselves. Right? Or at least we may listen to our best friends and we have more compassion for our friends than we do ourselves. So it's kind of like something like that. Or asking yourself, you know, if this was my best friend, what would I tell them to do?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I often say when I'm dealing with people during a life strategizing process, I'll often say to them, you know, act as if you're your own best friend. I mean, you know, because mostly we don't treat ourselves like that at all.
No.
You know? So, yeah. So that's really good. That's really good and sage advice to find a good quality role model and then make it as if it's us, because eventually it'll become flavored by our personality, by our energy, and it will become us.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with intention as well. You know, like there has to be that intention, that desire to do it. And not everybody is committed to improving themselves because they believe they're stuck. They're caught up in powers and energies beyond their control or beyond their knowing. And, of course, because they believe that, they're absolutely right. So it's really hard to make that shift unless there's enough people around you doing it to make it seem as if it's right.
With that, we're going to go to our first break. You are listening to News for the Heart. We have David Watson here. If you want to know more about David, go to his website, askthewillows.com. And we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better, why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with bmajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And we are back with News for the Heart. We have David Watson. Actually, David is actually in trance now with his soul group, The Willows, and this may be the first time you've seen them live. David does have a YouTube, where we've created a bunch of shorter videos that you can get to listen to all of the wise advice that the Willows have offered. Today we're talking about the 3%, and David thought it would be a great idea if the Willows came in and talked about the 3%.
And what would you like us to address regarding the 3%?
I guess one of the things that we talked about before you came in was intention. So just sort of so that people understand what the 3% is from the Willows perspective, and I guess the intention that we can create something powerful, well, empowering.
But first of all, we understood that all are on the same level of consciousness, all are equal, no one better than the next. 3% does not designate somebody who is higher or lower or any different than the rest of the population. And 3% is indicating a number in the population itself here that specifically has to do with a state of awareness regarding where they are at in that moment in time or as part of their lifestyle or how they're living their life. This is very powerful in helping steer the planet in this way. You would say, how do you steer a ship? You steer it with a rudder at the back, yes? Is the rudder the entire ship? No. It's a very small part of the ship, but it has a tendency by a very simple movement to control the direction of the ship itself, the same as the steering wheel in your car. A slight movement by the steering wheel causes the car to go in a completely different direction. So you see the power that comes from having that fulcrum of consciousness in a body of entities that is not directed inward. Correction, not directed outward, who are only directed inward. In other words, only relating to the world about them, not understanding that part of the direction is a result of their inward creativity, even though they are doing it on a day-to-day basis. We're not saying these are ignorant people or people who do not have awareness of this of their existence, but rather who are not spending time on the internal process, you see.
Right.
So this is the ideal behind this, to understand that one can be the rudder, the guiding aspect of an entire population, of an entire world, so to speak. And it's understood by many, particularly the powers that are currently directing the world, very consciously and very directly, utilizing and creating the basis here you refer to as of consumerism, creating the basis herein of those who would be supportive of the few. This is not the ideal behind this. This is where the few, which would be a very large number when you really come to consider it, because 3% of the world population be here of about 240 million people. That's a lot of folks. And the fact remains is that each of these folks, if they become self-actuated, in other words, self-aware, they have the opportunity within themselves here to shape and to help shift minds of those about them in a positive, loving, and affirmative way. So this is the ideal behind this. When one comes onto the plane, when one comes here from a spiritual plane, all are contained on spirit, held wholly in love. When individuals come onto the earth plane, they then have the opportunity to, take that original love and allow it to turn through the spectrum of their own physical existence into a full emotional experience. And that is really what you are here to do, is to have the emotional experience to understand and take it in an emotional way and to have an appreciation of the life process.
Right.
Yet, most people feel that in their own life, they are not living like that. They are not living to their emotional potential. Most people, when you speak to them, will say, well, I'm happy, but I'm not that happy, or I'm not unhappy, one of our favorite terms. How are you feeling? Are you happy? Well, I'm not unhappy. And this means to many that they're not sure.
Right.
Because physical existence to them is neither happy or unhappy. It's a neutral experience. It's like holding your breath underwater, hoping that the water is going to evaporate instead of trying to swim to the top.
Mm.
So you see here, action is what is required in all avenues when it comes to shift. And this 3% is all about shift, about shifting consciousness of the world itself. For once people begin to see the few having results with what they are doing, they will become interested. It is much like a wave. And when you see a wave that is active, say, in a football field, yes, people will stand up and sit down in perfect harmony. How do they do that? And the wave only comes through them in a moment. Yet anybody who has been in the wave will tell you when the wave gets to them, they feel a charge of energy.
Hmm.
It's very true. And gives them a lift. So it is being part of the larger energy, but it is also experiencing it as an individual as part of the wave. And that's exactly what we're speaking about here, you see?
Mm-hmm.
To have this wave of consciousness go out from you as an individual or from many collectively on the physical plane. And as that wave crosses the planet, people have an opportunity to experience that elevated sense of consciousness that comes along with it. With elevated consciousness comes a grander understanding of the life process and a step ahead in the evolution on the physical plane of the human race.
Hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So this is nothing short of changing the world, this kind of thinking, as we would put it, you see?
Hmm.
And it is so simple. You do not have to join a club. You do not have to give people money for it. You do not have to do anything. All you have to do is begin to think a little more positively. To think about how you can be nice to two or three people today. To think of how you are connected to the entity you may call God or Allah or to higher consciousness or just to Mother Nature. Whatever you wish to call that power that is. When you feel connected to it, when you feel it coming through you, you step into a state of inner freedom. And that inner freedom allows you to express fully your capacities and your capabilities on the physical plane, which is what you came to do in the first place. No one came onto the physical plane to become a multimillionaire and control tens of thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
No one does that. People come onto the plane in order to be happy. The fact that these things happen are a result of what makes the individual happy. You have free reign to do whatever it is you wish when you come onto the Earth plane. Oh, but you would say, I live in a restricted condition and situation. And we would say the restriction is only outside of you. It is not inside of you. Inside is where your imagination dwells, where your eternal soul is contained, and also where you emanate and share energy into the world around you. People who studied energy have come up with many different ways of expressing it, whether it be in physical electricity and the movement thereof, such as Nikola Tesla, whether it be an energetic or spiritual way that it is being placed out into the world here by people like Deepak Chopra, whether it is spiritual, as in religious, that is being put out into the world like the Pope. Each person that is there is putting an energy out through their own perception, through their own way of understanding, and sharing it into the world. But in actual fact, they are expressing their own sense of joy and happiness by doing what they are doing and embracing it fully and knowing that that's exactly what they are on the plane to do. Not many people have a conscious understanding of this because, of course, not many people have taken the time to figure it out. Because people have been so conditioned over their lifetimes to follow through with family precepts, with this is the way it is done, that comes down generationally, that comes down not just from the family, but of course politically and through community or through society, you see, and also culturally throughout the entire belief systems that are connected with people, whether it be of religion or philosophy. So it is all these things that are there to create the individual's consciousness, and it is these things that create the 97%. That is not to say the 97% is not alive and thinking. Of course they are, but it's what they're alive and thinking about. Right. They're dwelling on the physical level, immersed in what we would call busyness. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of busyness. Just change the Y in business, I to a Y in business, and you have the true origin of the world of busyness. It is just to find things to be busy with.
Right.
It is if you were saying, well, I'm waiting for a train, so I may as well read this paper or talk to the person beside me or work on my little cell phone or do something, you see, until the train arrives. So all you are doing is passing time. And in actual fact, that's what many people say when they're having their lives unfold for them.
Right.
I just feel like I'm here passing time. I am not feeling satisfied with what I'm doing, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, so I may as well do this. Right. As a result of this, people become enmeshed and locked into a particular behavior pattern that doesn't give them an opportunity to make choices freely on their own. Oh, they would have a choice, all right, but the choices are the ones that are given them. These are choices that are provided through the use of commercialism, through the use of consumerism, so that suddenly you're presented with things to get busy for. Yes, a new car, a new way of watching television, a new entertainment system, a new informational technology device. These are the things that people now become enamored with. Do they satisfy what that person's needs are? No. Do they give them what they want? No. They only act as, shall we say, fill-ins. Hmm. Things to put in the way while you were waiting for the real thing to happen. And it is the same in their relationships. Relationships are what they're having until the real thing comes along. You see?
Yes.
This is the manner in which many people choose to live their lives. Mm-hmm. And many who would be listening here will recognize some of these aspects in their own life, if not today, at least in their past. Mm-hmm. But it's not a matter of saying these are bad things or that, that I am dead or I am lost. It's a matter of saying I didn't realize I was doing that because I was so busy beating off the alligators, I thought my original intention was to drain the swamp. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the whole point about life, and to begin to take a step back, to understand here that when one steps into this type of a headspace, one steps from the 97 into the 3. And in actual fact, it's not at 3% at this time, but it's getting very close.
Mm.
And it's on the tipping point. And that's exactly why things are beginning to shift in the world as quickly as they are. That is why many of the children who are coming onto this plane now, that were referred to as of indigo or star or crystal or any other number names that you inventive human beings like to use to describe something that's extraordinary.
Right.
But the children who are coming on are not only gifted, but they're gifted with parents and those about them who understand the gift of life and are respecting children fully in their existence and in their path. Not to dissuade them, but to give them a sense of themselves, to let them know that they're loved, that they can make their own decisions with consultation, but that their beliefs and their thoughts are all valid. Mm-hmm. This is called validating children, and what more does any child need other than to be validated to feel joy? But this is what's happening today. This is happening within the 3%. Mm-hmm. As the saying goes, you're either part of the solution or you're not.
That's a problem. Yes.
So part of the solution, and there's nothing to truly solve other than to say, this is the next stage in human evolution. You see, your humans have gone through many different civilizations. This is not your first and greatest civilization. Hmm. You have a chance to be that, but it's not. There have been civilizations on this earth for billions of years. Billions of years. And you would understand here that the things of knowing here on your planet have to do with knowledge of what is necessary in finding a degree of conscious awareness. The unique part of this point in time and space, which is in a timeless time and a placeless place, in the larger picture of infinity, but nevertheless utilizing your own parameters here, this is the time when the energies are right to have this transformation, to allow those who are on the physical plane to release themselves from the base of pure physical existence and to enter into a higher realm of consciousness, which gives individuals a sense of not being gods or godlike, but being able to do things easily and effortlessly without a sense here of constant resistance. For the physical world in which you live at this time is a world of resistance. It is a world of individuals taking on to themselves the aspect here of the need to control their environments, of the need to keep things in a certain way, of the need to maintain a status quo, to keep things moving. But in actual fact, it is not invented in your society and your way of thinking to keep things moving. It's designed to create things and to sell them to you.
Right.
With the false belief that that is going to make you happy.
Right.
And how can it be? Because these things are just made by other people who are the same as you.
Who weren't happy when they were making them.
Indeed. Usually in countries where they're not getting paid enough money and or they're having some kind of child labor problems.
Right.
So these things here are not the solution.
Right.
But the fact is that it's believed that capitalism is the thing that's going to save the world. And in actual fact, it is not capitalism that will save anything. Capitalism is just another form of social cancer that exists at this moment in time, because it's based on consumerism. It's not based on elevating quality of life of anybody. Mm-hmm. Quality of life does not have to necessarily just what you have around you. It's what's going on inside of you. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So this quality of life here is where the big shift is designed to come through. Those who are feeling this within themselves no longer have a desire to have a 15-room home or to entertain people in their lodge in the Catskills. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
This is all beginning to be left behind by those individuals. There's plenty of other people who want that, and they'll be happy to buy them up. But the fact remains is there is an increasing number of people who have, like Elwood P. Dowd in the play Harvey, found two ways to be successful. One was to be very smart, and the other one was to be very, very kind. And tried smart, prefer kind. And the kindness here is what moves people forward. You see?
Right.
Kindness, joy, sharing. And it is these things very easily practiced because one knows how to do it. It's very interesting when one considers this, because in this way, it's much easier for an individual to be joyful and happy than it is for them to be unhappy. Just watch a child that you give a box to. Yes. They don't say it's empty. They look at it and suddenly it becomes a fortress or a home or something that they can pretend they're driving in or flying. It's the imagination that takes. It's this aspect here, the inner perspective, that makes one happy or unhappy. And so, as a result of this, again, understanding the nature of consciousness, what you are individually taught and brought up with from childhood, no matter what society you come from, you see, it is pretty much the same. It is fixed in a conventional way of looking and perceiving, and in a state that must shift and elevate magically.
Right.
People into a predetermined way of thinking or being. And this is where, within a society, individuals are then taught and conditioned by the society and imprinted from childhood to act and behave and believe certain truths, which are not truths necessarily, but just edicts and concepts that are considered as truths by that particular group of people. So there isn't a lot of room for free thinking in this way, and it's free thinking that's absolutely at the center of internal freedom and choice, and also at the very basis of acting and behaving in such an open and unqualified loving way. Because each of these societies within its own way has the concept that it is real, and as a result becomes very much against others. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Any other culture that is not theirs cannot be right, because theirs is right.
Right.
You see? And it creates what we can only refer to as a xenophobic behavior, which is what the world is still dealing with now. And the only way this can be overcome is by people who don't think like that, the 3%. So you can see how many different levels the 3% can have. They can affect the financial level, they can affect the emotional level, they can affect the spiritual level, and they can affect the level of a technological advancement. Because when one enters into this advanced state of consciousness, so to speak, one doesn't need to have so much technology, because one is choosing to spend one's time rather than being distracted from reality in life. And one spends the time in becoming involved in the life process, getting to know the people in their lives, getting to know themselves, getting to understand the nature of being. How did you make that little tiny chip take so much information, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Even the little dings you hear right now are coming from one of these types mm-hmm. of technology. So it is these things here, as you would understand here, how they do intrude, how they do interrupt, and how they do distract from beingness. It is our found understanding and found sound belief that every individual would profit and benefit greatly from taking at least an hour a day in contemplation, not in meditation, not where you would have to sit as if you had to go to school and contemplate something specific, but contemplation means thinking about life, thinking about where you are as a person in life, thinking about your value of how you're interacting with people about you, thinking about whether you're on the right or the wrong path when it comes to certain behaviors, thinking about how you can become a better version of you. In other words, you 3.1. You see?
Mm-hmm.
To put it in your technological terms. So, from this perspective here, all of these aspects are things that can be taken into consideration and put into a truthful way of seeing and acting and behaving to enable you as an individual or you as individuals to begin to say, I can do this. It's easy. All I have to do is think about things in a different way and release myself from the need to believe that what I am seeing around me is the only reality. Because reality is not just what's about you, it's mm-hmm. how you perceive what's about you.
Yes, definitely.
You see?
Definitely. All right, well, we're going to go to break. Thank you very much. I think we'll bring David back. So thank you for joining us, and thank you for the information.
Mm-hmm.
You are listening to News for the Heart. If you want to have more information about David, go to his website, askthewillows.com, and we will be right back. Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on BeMajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better, why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with BeMajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at BeMajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. We're getting to the heart of what matters. We've been talking about the 3% and how that can change our lives. It can change the world. It can set our intentions in a different direction and get the world kind of out of that fear place and into a transformational place where it will then gear us towards. Now, the Willows have said that, you know, we're not quite at the 3% yet, but we're getting there. We are talking with David Watson. If you want more information about David, you can go to askthewillows.com. And I thought we'd come back. There was a question that came up while we were talking about the 3%. I mean, are we talking about, you know, us being in 3% of our time where we're more awake and conscious and thinking about what makes us happy, and or is it, you know, do we need to be 100% in that train of thought? Because that would be...
Well, I'd say it's a start. The 3% is a start.
Okay. Okay.
The perception I had around this was kind of interesting, and how I came to this conclusion, as I was saying earlier. I connected with this thing that Daniel Brinkley was talking about.
Right.
But my actual connection with Daniel Brinkley goes back a good, 15 years. Sure. When I saw him in Toronto at that time, I had come to see him with a couple of friends, and I actually wound up meeting him quite by accident. I was just going down to the money machine to go and, you know, take a couple of bucks out. And there he was walking along, and he was talking to somebody, and he looked up at me like out of the blue, and he looked at me with recognition, walked over, and reached out his hand, and I reached out my hand to shake hands with him. And instead of taking my hand, he took his fingers and he put them around my wrist. And he shook my hand and my wrist. He said, "It's lovely to see you again." He says, "I hope you're well." And I said, "Yeah, like, what's going on?" And when he did that in that moment, I had this vision in a moment where it was a waking vision. I haven't had many of those in my life. And there I was in like an olive grove, all dressed in white robes with him and several other people. And we were all doing something. We were all together. And after that, he went up and he did his talk. I never talked to him after that. I tried to communicate with him, but I guess his handlers sort of said, "Oh, we got all kinds of nuts who write and say they had an experience after meeting Daniel." But I think his energy is definitely very genuine. But what came out of that for me is I realized at the time, I thought, well, maybe I was supposed to get together with other people and like create this group of people. And I realized after I heard him again and talking about that, quite interestingly, it occurred to me that I've been doing all along exactly what I was supposed to be doing, and that was helping other people realize that within themselves, to understand that within themselves. And it's just given me more of a drive, and it's given me something to do, oh, for, I don't know, the rest of my life, however long or short that may be. But, you know, it's given me direction in that way, to know that when I talk to people, when I have an opportunity to share with them, when I just flip a little bit of this kind of philosophy towards people, the people who are ready for it pick up on it. And the moment they pick up on it, they have that understanding. So to say, what percentage of your time, I think once you understand something, then it's all the time. Like, for example, you know, you might say, well, I don't believe in Santa Claus anymore because he's not that jolly little elf. Well, that's an understanding that you've had maybe since you were 5 or 6, right? But without even talking about it, you're still living your life understanding that Santa doesn't exist in that way. Although, you know, you might get to a point in life where a higher, more sophisticated part of your consciousness opens and you realize that he does exist, but in the form of the spirit of giving and charity, you know, and not just at Christmas. You know, it's like, and I think it's that kind of thinking that allows us to begin to shift. So say, do I have to do this 3% of the time? Like we're grunting away at it. Like, oh, do I have to meditate 10 minutes a day, or what do I have to do? You know, and doing that kind of thing is you just are, you know, you just are. I mean,
well, the Willis talked more about contemplation. It was more about contemplation than necessarily meditation.
Well, that's the point. I think contemplation is the thing that's going to give us the answer. I agree with what the Willows have to say about that, because then what we're doing is we're taking conscious understanding of who we are and how we understand the world around us and applying it to ourselves, and then releasing ourselves from the need to hold on to certain aspects of it and begin to say, you know what, I think, therefore I am. I think. But like that, that I am here, and this is what my life purpose is about, is just to be, you know. And then whatever I do is perfect, because then I'm fulfilling my life purpose, whether I'm, you know, a brain surgeon or a guy who collects the garbage, you know. Right. It doesn't make any difference what you do. It's a matter of how you do it and the mind and the eyes and the way that you filter the world around you. And I think once we've made that shift consciously, it affects all our filters, and as a result, it's like all the time. We don't have to work at being alive. You know, we don't have to work at breathing as long as we're breathing, please God, while we're here on the physical plane. It's a really good thing to do. But it's like looking around for your glasses and realizing that your glasses are on the end of your nose. You know, oh, there they are. You know, so we don't have to look for something that we already have understood. And I mean, I've known you for a long time, and as a friend, you have a very broad view of perspective of life, and I mean, it's something you share with people on an ongoing basis, and I know you as I do, and many other people who are in that sharing thing also have our moments of doubt and our moments of self-abnegation and things like that, and it's in those moments when we need to really step into that power and that energy, and to remind ourselves that who we are and what we're doing here, because sometimes we just forget, and we get tied up with the 97%. And it's so real, it's so palpable, and it's so, you know, unrelenting that we sometimes we become discouraged. So that's why it's important to talk to other like-minded people and to share and to constantly work with what we do to open more minds and to open more people to allow them to do that. And of course, the best way to start is with the young people. Yeah. I love working with kids. Yeah. I mean, because they always ask great questions, and once you give them an answer. And you give them information as to how they're going to get that answer for themselves, which is really what they want, then they go and they discover it, and they find, oh, that's real. That's real for me. I remember one thing I told a nephew of mine years and years and years ago, 20-odd years ago, because he was saying, oh, what's it like to grow up? And I said, you want to know what the secret of growing up is?
No, don't grow up.
No, it's not that at all. It's the fact that we don't grow up. We really don't. We're still the same person inside our whole lives. You know, I may look old and bald and gray now, but the fact is that inside of me is still, you know, like 6-year-old Dave who walked around looking at the world with awe and loving it. You know, and I think if each one of us understands that that's who we are, we do evolve emotionally and energetically through a lifetime. But if we keep ourselves open and we do step into that place of inner openness, then we have an opportunity to really allow that inner child to shine, rather than, right. you know. And of course, for some people, I have to give them techniques, or I don't have to. But we choose to use techniques which allows them to go back and find their inner child, and to have that inner child feel rescued. So the inner child, because quite often people have that inner child inside that feels so afraid and so frozen that they can't move as an adult. And we need that childlike aspect of ourselves to be full and whole. So until we can go back and establish that, it's very difficult it's very difficult for any of us to have the life we choose to live. So that's another part of rediscovering ourselves. Right. And going back and finding the inner child. And there's some very easy techniques. There's a couple that I've kind of adapted and shifted from some of the things that I've learned in my classes that I've attended and that sort of thing. Very fast ways for us to go back and not rescue the inner child, but to assure it and to allow it to come back into our heart so it can grow with us again.
Right.
Because often we become frozen in our past beliefs that stopped us from changing. And when we understand that those beliefs themselves are not going to do anything more or less for us than to create blockages. Mm. The moment we break through them, the blockages evaporate. And then we again step into that way of experiencing that 3% truth. Or not the 3% truth, but the 3% of the people who are living a higher truth or a more vibrant truth in that way, from the inside out.
Right.
So I think that's probably the best way to put it.
Okay. And we also mentioned in the beginning about intentions.
Yeah.
You know, that I think it has to do a lot with our intention of what we want to experience, mm-hmm. or what we're needing to experience. And I think we get kind of caught up in what's happening and believing that it's happening to us, mm-hmm. that we kind of lose touch with that.
Absolutely.
Right? Or what is our intention? And what is your intention?
And what is positive intent?
Well, you know, is it to be happy? And can you realize that happiness has absolutely nothing to do with what's outside of you and has everything to do with an emotional response that you choose to create?
Yes.
I mean, it's an interesting philosophy. It's an interesting way of looking at life. It's a way of, it's a contemplation. I mean, the big thing is, and if you ask everybody, anybody, they'll all say they want to be happy. It's when you ask them to define what happiness is that we kind of get caught up. Mm-hmm. Because we think it might be that new car, that bigger house, or mm-hmm. being in a relationship, or, you know, that's what would make us happy. And we forget that happiness isn't outside us. It's only within us.
Does that song go, happiness is different things to different people? That's what happiness is. Well, that's what it is. And I think that's a very good way to put it. And to find that inner happiness is a unique thing.
Yeah.
You know, what do you need to be happy? What do I need to be happy?
That's what we need to contemplate, I think. Mm. That's how we set our intentions, is that, you know, if that's what you want, and that is what everybody wants, is to be happy. It's just that we have these very construed ideas of what makes us happy, and it isn't outside things, because we can get everything we want.
Very true.
And not be happy. We know that there are billionaires out there that are miserable.
Well, the reason being is because, of course, that isn't really what they needed.
Right.
They thought they did.
Right.
You know. And power and riches and fame aren't necessarily what anyone needs or strives for. It's a matter of feeling content within ourselves. And that sense of contentment is a very fleeting thing, it seems, for many.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of the things we've suggested today might help folks out there to think a little bit about that themselves and to put themselves into a place of shift and change.
Yeah, it's really that contemplation thing. It's you know.
So, I mean, officially today, I kind of wanted to use this as an opportunity to declare this the beginning of the 3% movement.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. So that anybody out there, if you think for any reason you may be a member of that 3%, get the heck out there and make the people around you happy.
There you go.
Or actually, don't, you can't make them happy, of course, but get out there and be happy with them, and maybe they'll pick up on it. It kind of rubs off. And
well, that's the thing with happiness. Yeah, if somebody smiles, it's really hard for you not to smile back. I mean, you see a child that's innocently smiling, it's almost impossible not to smile back. You hear of a good deed or a heroic event. I mean, these are things that fill your life up with purpose and joy. And that's, I think, the thing about the media and how we get so caught up in all the terrible things that are happening, because that's what the media portrays, is that we have this terrible world full of fear and all these awful events that happen. And we need to shift our way of thinking. We need to stop. You know, we need to stop looking at the media and telling them that we need happy stuff. I know Huffington Post seems to be, it's a Canadian paper and website, and it seems to have a lot of very positive things that are going on. And I think that's what we need more of.
Well, that's because they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're part of the 3% too.
There you go.
That's it.
All right. Well, this has been an interesting, so we'll start a new movement. Beginning today.
I don't see
why
not.
Be part of the 3%.
Maybe we can call the show the 3% Solution.
3% Solution.
That's right. And we're certainly willing to have any of your ideas to come in and to talk to about, or to talk to us about what you're doing to make the world a better place for yourself and for the people around you.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. You've been listening to the News for the Heart, and we've been getting to the heart of what matters, which is being part of the 3% Solution. If you want more information about David, go to his website, askthewillows.com. You can go to my website, intuitivesoul.com, and we'll be back next month.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.